Today's Wednesday. A lot of people call it hump day. I call it Wednesday.
Guess what day it is? Live and local with Monica J on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk.
It is the Monica J Show, your show, live and local FM talk for all of Northern Nevada. And I do mean all of Northern Nevada, because we have to fight what's going on together. Because if we don't stay together, if we don't stand together, then we're not going to make effective change. And that effective change is coming in November. And that is voting as many Democrats out as we absolutely can. And hopefully recalling this governor. But I'll tell you more about that tomorrow. Be listening for a big show, because there's controversy going on and we're going to lay it all out. Talk and text 884-9910. We're broadcasting, doing the live show today from the state legislature, as the big building behind me is locked down. All the doors locked. So much for, you know, citizen legislature and being able to listen to what's going on. When your elected representatives, which, by the way, I really don't think they're doing that great of a job of representing we the people, they're making decisions that will affect you, your livelihood, your financial stability, everything in your life. They're making those decisions behind us right now, and it's not right for you to not be a part of it. The Monica J Show, indeed, but I have to rely on the experts around me, and one of the best experts I can possibly imagine is the man who founded, co-founded, runs GuardTheConstitution.org, and that is Sean Meehan. Sean Meehan. Sean, thank you so much for being down here and joining me. Because one of the things that you sent out yesterday through social media, and I know people hate social media, but I wish more people would get involved with it, because it is a great way for us to pass information, even if we just do it in private messages. But in something that the governor did with declaring this special election, he has in the declaration "and other things" in the agenda. Is that legal? Can he do that? Just say "other things" and not tell people what they're talking about behind closed doors?
Well, Monica, it's good to join you in person out here in front of the People's House. I'd rather be inside the People's House teaching the Constitution to the legislators, because you know that's my favorite activity. To answer your question,
it's necessary because they don't obviously read it.
Correct. You're talking about the proclamation required by Article 5 of the Nevada Constitution, Section 9, Paragraph 1, that was published last night, I think at about 6 p.m. And it reads pretty much like the article that was published in the Nevada Independent that they've been talking about for about a week, the items that will be worked on. Sadly, the governor, according to the state constitution, can put in there whatever he wants as a reason to call. And, for example, people are thinking about the income tax being amended out of the state constitution so that we could have one. People are worried about that. I think they're rightfully concerned. That would be related to balancing the budget. So that could even be talked about. And the other thing.
Let me pause you there, because that's what I have been telling people. That's what I've talked about, that because I get the left saying he can't do it. He can't do it. It's unrealistic. And I thought that all you have to do is have two legislative votes and then it goes to a vote of the people. But you corrected me, and that's the case. But between those two legislative votes, there has to be an election.
That's correct. I was even concerned early on, until I checked the references, that they could have a special session, vote for it, adjourn, have another special session, and then this November put it on the ballot. Whether it would pass or not is a whole other argument, but an election has to take place between those two sessions. So what they could do, if they really wanted to be even more evil than they have been, is they could bring it up in this session, they could vote on it if it passed, and that's a simple majority vote. Adjourn, have the election in November, and call a special session in December, as an example, bring forward that issue to repeal the income tax block out of the state constitution. Then, of course, they would have to pass a law to then put that into effect. I don't know that they would want to do that or not, but we all know there's a lot of people out there that choose not to work that would love to vote to tax those of us that do.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the polling is, if it would actually pass or not.
And actually, if you've seen some of the letters floating around, the number of registered Republicans has been overblown, that there are more Democrats in the state, and we know how Democrats vote. They vote against the will of the people, basically. And with them having the legislature, I think they would have the votes in the state.
Well, I don't know the breakdown currently. I think it's changed in the last few years. And you know, I'm a member of the Nevada Republican Party. I'm on the state central committee. I'm very active, chaired a committee at the convention. But I got to be honest about the past history of our party. We didn't treat certain presidential candidates and their supporters very well. So they left the party. They took the R from after their name, and they went and became independents of certain flavors. And I can't blame them for that. But most of the time, if you talk to them, they tend to vote with Republican or conservative issues. But they have grown to be such a huge number on the Secretary of State rolls, is it's really hard to tell where they're going to go. They tend to split the issues. They don't vote one party or the other. But
we got a little indication, especially with all the calls and emails and texts I received about, you know, what the hell's going on? I can't vote in the primary. They, you know, when they switched over to that independent, they didn't realize that.
And there's simple things like that that we don't know, much like we don't know our Constitution at a basic level.
Yep.
And what I think is interesting, some people are going to be surprised, because I've talked to some Democrats, and we all tend to think that we're siloed. You're a Republican or you're a Democrat. Well, here's the issue. You've got a lot of Democrats down south that have lost their businesses, that have lost their jobs. And your pocketbook, your children being hungry, is one of the top motivators for how you vote. I think certainly some moderate Democrats, they're not going to re-register and become Republicans, but I think they're going to vote against this governor and this governor's representatives in the legislature. And we may actually see some independents or Republicans win the race November for the legislature based on the fact that this COVID shutdown, and I would say this unconstitutional COVID shutdown, took money out of their families' pockets, took food out of their kids' mouths, and that's an incredible motivator. So we don't know what it's going to look like until the votes are counted in November.
Exactly. And, you know, their constituents are mad as well. And the Democrats voting these people in are starting to wake up that, wow, you took me from a great job to the point that I have to go wait in line now at a food bank to feed my family. Let's, Sean, stay here. I want you to continue on with me. But we're going to go to the phone lines, talk and text lines at 884-9910 and check in with Jane and Sparks. Hi, Jane. Thanks for calling the show. Jane?
Hello?
Okay. Oh, Eddie Lorton's on the line with us. Hi, Eddie.
Hi. Thanks for being there today, Monica. How are you?
I am doing fabulous. I'm sitting here with all of these great people like Melissa Clement and Lee Elliott is out here. Sean Meehan is with me right now. And I look around at all of these wonderful people out here protesting to get this state back open, to not have to wear masks, and to end this sham of a COVID virus shutdown.
Well, I was just listening to the conversation with a previous gentleman that was just speaking with you. And, you know, they're trying for that state tax. Well, remember the commerce tax. No one thought you could do it. The voters voted it down, and legislatively they went around everybody, and certain people were sequestered so no one could get to them to change their vote. So they're seedy down there, and it's terrible. These are these people's biggest dream, is to keep the public out, just like the city of Reno is doing right now. They love these meetings with no public input. They'll say Zoom, and half the people can't get on and all these things, but these people love this because then they even have more of a strong arm to get around citizens, and they've done it before.
That's absolutely right. We see it with the city councils everywhere, the county commissions. People don't have access, and that's just, Sean, that's just flat out wrong.
And Eddie's right on the history, but I would caution you also to point out that this requires to amend the Nevada Constitution. For those listening, has a very clear prohibition against a personal income tax right now. That would have to be amended out. That requires two votes of the legislature and then one vote of the people. So that would, unlike the commerce tax that did not require a vote of the people, the shady way that it was done, this would. And then they would actually have to come back and vote to implement the income tax. So whether or not Nevada citizens at the ballot box would follow the legislature and vote to pull that out of the state constitution is the question. I think it would be close. I hope it would fail. But who knows?
Yeah. Eddie, thanks for calling, and good luck with your race against Devin Reese, who is just following along like the typical Democrat and like the typical follower of Hillary Sheevy, you know, wearing his mask, denouncing his white privilege, and it's just a joke every time you see the man. So let's go back to the talk and text lines at 884-9910. Jane is back with us. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Monica. I was saying hi to you, but I guess you couldn't hear me. the reason I wanted to talk to you was about Dieter. Of course, this is the executive branch organization that's run by Steve Sisolak, that its director got fired. Its new director is failing just as badly. Dieter comes... Their communication program is an artificial intelligence program called SARA. I don't know what the acronym stands for, but what SARA does, and the reason I know this, is Aaron Ford just made a filing in May of over 100 documents of communications in SARA. And SARA does not allow for case management. That means that when somebody calls in regarding unemployment and they get a different person, those people cannot see what happened in the previous communication. So SARA is extremely limited. And now that we have over 100 documents from Aaron Ford showing all the falsehoods that and all the shortcomings that are causing all these problems in SARA. This is also the program that is used by Human Resources for the state of Nevada. So we'd be happy to supply these over 100 documents if there's anybody who wants to look through them and look at all the basically reason why people are not getting their unemployment checks.
Well, I definitely want to see them, and I'll pay for my copies. You know, this is important stuff to know. Jane, thank you so much for the call. And Sean, you know, we talk about what's going on in the legislature with the elected representatives, but that's the other thing, is the people who actually work for the state, the things they do, the judges, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes.
Well, and I got to tell you, as somebody that helped work with some other people and promote the federal lawsuit against Sisolak for the civil rights violations, we were blown away with the arguments that the federal court judge in Las Vegas put down. It's almost like they've made a clearly political decision to put this aside. And I wanted to address something that your caller Jane may not be aware of. This just came to my attention this morning at home while I was having my coffee, is somebody on our Sisolak action group asked if there was a lawsuit regarding the non-payment of unemployment benefits, and I actually found that there was, and I can get you a link.
Yeah, I had a hearing yesterday with Judge Barry Breslow.
Okay, so hopefully that your website has a link on it, because I guess I've heard that there is a significant amount of Nevadans that are deserving of this benefit and are not being paid it, so they're not able to feed themselves.
139,000 Nevadans. And when they did the math of the adjudicators, as opposed to the people who are stuck in this, you know, system that they've messed up, it would take over a year and 7 months to help them. A year and 7 months!
And the sad thing that is super sad is we've got a rat squad that was set up with telephones to complain about businesses not complying and things like that, but we can't properly staff to get Nevadans their lawfully awarded benefits they're eligible for. Not acceptable.
It's all priorities, Sean. It's all priorities for the Democrats. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with more as we broadcast live from the Nevada State Legislature here on your live and local FM talk stations, 92.3 and 99.1 FM talk.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
It's the Monica Jay Show, live and local today outside the Nevada State Legislature with some breaking news. I hope you are not driving because you will literally skid off the road. 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk, my insider Ken Gray, County Commissioner for Lyon County, coming out. And Ken, they just passed some special rules in the legislature already concerning voting in November. And this, Sean Meehan is still with us, and his first thought was, that has got to be unconstitutional. What happened?
Well, this isn't concerning voting in November. This is concerning voting, you know, here in the People's House. So your elected representatives, they passed a rule that if you are not wearing a mask, you will not be allowed to vote, and they will. There we go. They passed a rule that if you're not wearing a mask, you will not be allowed to vote, and you will, and you can, and will be expelled from the chambers. So that's your elected representative, your voice in the Nevada Assembly being silenced because somebody won't wear a mask. You know, that's. I don't know if anybody is gonna, you know, take that chance, but that was one of the first rules they passed. Another one.
Do we
one
have any legislators? Oh, I don't know. You can't go in there.
I wouldn't be wearing my mask, and they would have to carry my fat butt out, and I'd keep going back in.
I'm just wondering if there are any legislators in there who aren't wearing a mask.
I would challenge our entire Republican caucus to take their mask off and see what happens. I really would.
Okay. Well, as the video shows, everybody's wearing their masks. So yeah. I'm wondering why that was even attempted.
I don't know, but if they were to do that, it would grind this whole process to a halt, maybe prevent some damage.
Let's go full conspiracy theory, Monica. If they get one of our folks out of the Senate, there's the two-thirds firewall. They can slam a tax increase through. They readjust the quorum while they're out of the chamber. They run a tax bill through. They got their two-thirds.
So there you go. They may be waiting for somebody to do that.
Well, I disagree with you both because, as we know from the last legislative session, they didn't really care about having a two-thirds majority, and they did it anyway, hence another lawsuit. Sean, we talk about lawsuits and people taking up, you know, these things with lawyers against the Republican senators have one going. There's a civil lawsuit against the wearing of masks. Why do we have to keep suing just for basic rights?
We're at a formational point in our country's history right now. This is like our version of the 60s. Things are changing, yeah. And you got to give it to the Democrats because they're not independent thinkers. They're stormtroopers. They line up behind their leader. They do what they're told, and they don't ask for permission. And because conservatives, we have ideas, we think, we challenge each other, we debate. We're not real good joiners. We don't line up behind people to work towards a goal. That's our problem. They're going to push as hard and as far as they can and as long as they can. We need to learn our Constitution. That's the real firewall here. People don't understand. The courts are not the final authority on the law like we've been wrongly taught. Yep. They say Marbury v. Madison. Well, if you look at Marbury v. Madison, it very clearly points out that a law that's not in pursuance of the Constitution is no law at all. We need to learn the Constitution and stand up and resist. Not with violence. We're not there yet, and I pray we never get there. But we got to get informed and confident about what the rules are and then stand up and don't debate. Say, fine, you guys are going to push your trash. We know we're morally and legally right. Here we come. And we haven't done that yet. We like to talk about it. We haven't engaged.
And that's what concerns me about our elected representatives. And that's why I look at the red flag laws in the Second Amendment, that they're constantly putting these stuff up against it. And I just go to the U.S. Constitution. It's my right, you know.
So you just gave me a great segue on their next little one. So whoever would have thought they could one-up Nancy Pelosi, you know, pass it and then read it and see what's in it?
Yeah.
Well, they just passed a rule in there. You can get something passed, an idea passed, and kind of say, this is what we want. and you can build the framework after it's been passed.
So what, they're just getting rid of the putting the bills together, bill drafts?
I guess so. It's that's really kind of scary. I mean, you can have an idea, you can get it passed, and then, you know, put the meat in it later.
Well, that's kind of, you know, the whole idea of the agenda that he put together and other things that he listed.
That's crazy. Ken, am I hearing you right that you're saying they can basically pass an outline and write the paper later?
I don't even think it has to be as formal as an outline.
Just an idea.
It's just an idea, and that was the word that was used to me. They can pass an idea and build the framework and everything and all the meat later.
We're in an interesting area. The Nevada Constitution allows the Assembly and the Senate to pass their own rules of operation. However, and it doesn't need to point this out because it's common friggin' sense, up to the point where it violates the Nevada Constitution. I believe, and I'd have to check, there are specific ways that a House is required to vote on a bill. So what Ken's describing, if it's like that, you can't pass an outline and then publish a bill. You have to pass the bill.
Yep.
And it has to be verbatim, and the Legislative Counsel's Bureau is very thorough when they write that language out. You change one little word, that's a different bill.
And I just want to point out that since we started the show, we were down here a little after 9 o'clock. We have probably tripled the amount of people that are down here now and trying to get their voice heard. And it's just impossible when the doors of your legislature are locked and you can't even go in to listen to what they're doing.
Yep.
We'll be back after this Fox News break with more news from the Nevada State Legislature as we broadcast live the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
99.1 FM Talk. This is Talk Radio. The original social media, KKFT.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk, live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. We've got Douglas County out here. We got Lyon County. We got people from Churchill County out there because this is a big day. This is a big day. The Nevada State Legislature in session for a special session called because of a $100+ billion shortfall in our budget. Now, I've heard everything from 1.2, 1.3, 1.9. With the governor trying to only lay off 50 people from the state, you know, getting one state employee, one furlough day for a month, where do you think that money is going to come from? That is going to come from the wallets of the businesses and the people of Nevada. And you can guess that when all of this was shut down, when Dieter is, you know, under such scrutiny in a lawsuit right now, it's just incredible to see what is happening to this state. But I am so glad to see so many citizens out here in front of the legislature. We have people representing the schools. We've even got kids out here. Why do we have kids out here in the middle of a Wednesday? Because they're not in school. Well, they wouldn't be in school now anyway, but because they're not in school and they want to be in school. So let's go with my very special guest, Melissa Clement, is joining us right now. Melissa is with Nevada Right to Life and Protect Our Girls. What is I know what Nevada Right to Life is, Melissa, but what is Protect Our Girls? And thank you for being out here today.
Thank you for being out here, and thank you for letting me jump on the radio. Protect Our Girls is the statutory initiative that Nevada Right to Life is pushing. And what we're trying to do is fix the law that allows a minor girl to get an abortion without even one parent knowing, let alone consenting. I mean, it's crazy.
But how does she get to the clinic and all that and all the aftercare?
Right. I mean, this is a big concern. This is a medical concern because we're talking any girl who is biologically capable of getting pregnant can get an abortion without her parent knowing. So that means 14-year-old, 10-year-old, in some cases 8-year-old. It could be a teacher, a counselor, a coach, a boyfriend, a boyfriend's parents. It could be a lot of different people. What it should be, it should always be a mom or a dad.
Yeah.
And this is a common sense law. We've been working on this for over 20 years, trying to close this loophole that does nothing but protect abortionists and predators, quite honestly.
Well, don't even get me started on Planned Parenthood, because even when we saw all these, you know, trillions of dollars come out to help people and their businesses and keep their employees, what? Was it 5 million or 50 million? I mean, it was a huge number that went to Planned Parenthood.
Right. And the fact that Planned Parenthood and the abortion clinics were considered an essential service.
Yeah.
And that they were out there encouraging girls to make decisions that will impact the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
And not making sure that parents are involved. Parents are the most important. The person who loves their child the most, cares about them, knows their medical history.
You and I, we have differed on opinions before, and you know my history.
Sure.
Of actually working in a clinic when I was younger. What happens when we're younger? I mean, does our brain, do we hit 30 and then our brain just flips and it's
or
like,
in my case, I think I was 40 when I finally woke
what
up.
What the hell was I thinking? You know, I worked for the Feminist Women's Health Center and I worked as a lab technician. So I've seen the horrors. And when I talk about aftercare, it's huge. It's
right.
Emotional. It's physical. Mm-hmm. And parents have to know.
Parents have to know. I mean, I can only imagine what it would be like. You know, your daughter comes home from school. You think she's been at school. And she says, I don't feel well. And she goes and goes to her room and lays in her bed for a couple days. I mean, that happens to my...
Bleeding.
You know, and as a parent, you'd think, oh, she just must be having a rough period.
Is this a Republican versus Democrat issue?
No, it is not.
When it comes to this bill?
It is absolutely not. Well, it is when you walk inside the legislature, it is. Mm-hmm. But normal, regular people, whether they're Democrat or Republican, whether they're pro-life or pro-choice, they recognize that this is a monumental decision in a person's life. And when you're under 18, you're not allowed to get a loan on a car. You're not allowed to get your ears pierced or a tattoo. It's important. Like I said, women, men, Democrats, Republicans, pro-life, pro-choice, everybody believes that parents should be involved in all medical decisions.
The hypocrisy around all of this is staggering, for the fact that the same people who are pushing this, saying that, you know, children have this right and they can go do this, they're the same ones telling children that they have to wear a mask, that it's not their body, their choice.
Right.
You have to do this. It's for your own good.
Yeah.
They're sending mixed messages pretty much to all of us.
I have to say, I mean, I'm going to get off my topic a little bit, but it's not really. The decisions that are being made in a lot of places right now are considering children absolutely last. You know, we made decisions on masks, on schools and stuff like that with a little bit of information. But as more information came in, we should have been changing our mind. We should have been getting our kids out. You know, a child should not be sitting in front of a screen for 6 hours a day. A child should not be making...
Melissa, they're not. I talked to my little sister.
Right.
I hung out with her. We played Monopoly for 2 hours. I asked her flat out. I said, did you do your lessons? Have you been checking? Were you checking in? No.
Well...
I'm like, why not? You had assignments that you had to do. Wouldn't have changed my grade, so I already had an A.
They didn't grade anything. They told the kids, this isn't gonna affect your grade.
Yeah.
Now
So the kids didn't log in.
I'm pretty lucky because we are able to send our child to Minogue High School. And so my son was in front of a screen for 6 hours a day. I'm glad he was getting something. The public schools are our biggest investment that we make in our state and in our future. And we are making incredibly challenging and bad decisions. And, you know, when you add into that the SHARE program that tells them that they can get an abortion without a parent knowing.
Well, and teaches them all kinds of, you know, different positions and techniques.
So that's
you know,
the kind of school I don't mind we don't do anymore.
Yeah. you know, but here's the thing, that so many people are waking up to the fact that, wow, maybe homeschooling is a better way to go. Mm-hmm. But now legislators, and I'm not saying here, I'm talking federal legislators, are saying we cannot accept homeschooling. We need kids back in the public education system that parents, this is the term they used, parents have too much control over what the kids are learning.
You know, if they could just be consistent.
We just had a survey that came out nationally that kids are less patriotic after they've gone to university.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It makes you rethink. You know, certainly that was not what educators originally felt. The reason why we have public education is that so every child gets to start at the same level, and yeah, every child is learns how to be a good citizen, so that our country is better and stronger. But when that system that is supposed to be doing that is creating something entirely opposite,
it's because money got involved. When it's butts and seats that gets the schools and the districts
right,
their money and not the quality of the education for the kids,
right,
then you've lost. Mm-hmm. And when you have Marxists that are taking over this country that come out and say, if you control the education system, you control the minds of the future.
The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. And that's why they've got to take moms and dads out of that very important role.
The dissolving of families.
The dissolving of families. And, you know, I'm totally off topic today.
That's okay. How can people get involved with Protect Our Girls? Because you've got a petition.
Absolutely.
That needs to be signed and needs to be, you know, downloaded by people and
absolutely,
get it out in the community.
And then that's why I'm out here today. I'm collecting signatures for this. But I need everybody listening to go on to protectourgirlsnv.org and give us your name and email address, download a petition, get 7 signatures, and go recruit 7 other people to do the exact same thing. This is the grassroots movement of this time. And by golly, I mean, it seems like all forces are against us because we can't be in public as much, but this is going to be an underground grassroots movement that we, the people, get it done. And once we get those 100,000 signatures by November 10th, we're going to force these folks behind us in Carson City to actually vote on this. And if they don't give us what we've demanded, then in 2022, we will all finally have a vote on this on the 2022 ballot. And I know we're going to win because 7 in 10, at the very least, people, they believe we need to let parents be parents so kids can be kids. Parents should be involved if a child is getting an abortion or any other medical procedure.
The problem is getting people to the polls, mm-hmm, getting people to actually vote, and now we're looking at the mandated, just unbelievably unconstitutional mandate in our state for all mail-in voting.
Absolutely. And inside this building, they are making decisions right now that will affect how every decision is made. And look at it. I mean, all of these decisions are being made about our kids, about our future, about our taxes, and we're not in there. We're not allowed to to give our opinion. This is bad. People need to get angry, and they need to get registered to vote, and they need to vote.
Yeah.
And they need to take a look. Who is it that has done this to my family and to my state? And then they need to vote for the other guy.
Yeah. This is the real virus going on behind us.
Absolutely.
It has nothing to do with coronavirus. And I'm really disappointed now, because when we originally started the show, nobody was wearing a mask. But then the activist group for the school union came in, and they're all wearing custom masks, of course, you know, and those masks aren't protecting children. They're actually putting children at risk because of breathing in toxins and bacteria that young bodies need fresh air. And this is a beautiful day to be out here.
Our young kids should be up at Lake Tahoe running around on the beach. They should be practicing football. They should be out with friends and learning how to swim.
Yeah.
Our kids are stuck inside, and it's not helping us. We're going to pay a price for all of this for a lot of years.
Yeah. All right. Melissa Clement, Nevada Right to Life, and ProtectOurGirlsNV.org. Did I get it right?
Bam.
Bam. That's how you do it. All right, Melissa, thank you so much for joining me and, you know, getting rid of Sean Meehan for me. No, I'm kidding. We all run in the same circle.
I am the muscle.
That's right. I've got so much protection out here today. All right. We'll be back with more as we wrap up the show live from the Nevada State Legislature. Your voice, your FM. Your only live and local FM talk show right here, right now on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Live streaming at 991FMTalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, KKFT 99.1.
It's the Monica J. Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. It's the Monica J. Show indeed, but today it's basically your show as we talk live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. And I just grabbed this stranger off the street because, you know, we've got all kinds of protests going on here. And I got to ask you, what's your name?
Sharon Scudder.
Let me put this up here for you.
Sharon Scudder.
Sharon, I was kind of in between stuff, and I was listening while I had other people on the air, listening to what you were saying about statues coming down and those doors being locked and keeping us out. You were very passionate about that.
Absolutely. What's going on right now, and I'm a study of... World War II history, because I'm Jewish. Okay, so what I'm seeing here, and this started with me probably 10 years ago when the Tea Party started. I had Berkeley people knock at my door in Reno. I was a realtor in Reno, small business. And they knocked at my door and they said, is Robert Morse here? And I said, there's no Robert Morse here. They said, we'll come back when he's here. They knocked at my door. That's what got me into politics, because I put Robert Morse down on a piece of paper when I went to vote for John McCain, which was a rhino, but anyway, went to vote for them during the Obama runoff. I asked him, I said, is there a guy, Robert Morse, at my address? And they said, oh, yeah, he did a mail-in ballot. So when Trump says mail-in ballots are bad, he's absolutely correct. And they do mail-in ballots all over Reno. Now, they almost lost Reno, the far left, and it scared them to death in the last election. I can guarantee you they've closed the gap with mail-in ballots. I left Texas recently and came back to Nevada because I believe we're going to have a really visitation of God here, okay? God's coming.
I'm right there with you.
God is coming. There's an awakening. Trump's background is Hebrides Islands. There was an awakening on the Hebrides Islands. There was an awakening. His mother was part of that awakening, because that's in his bloodline. The wave from Scotland is about ready to hit. Now, this is spiritual. I'm talking spiritual type of stuff. But this is what's coming, because Trump was put in office not because he's a... a cutie pie. He was put in office because he was a thug. It takes a thug to thug a thug, and that's what he is, our thug.
Yeah, he's our thug.
Got it.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're
for
welcome.
Being so passionate, being out here today. All right. That pretty much does it for me today. This has been the fastest 2 hours of my career, but every day, every weekday, live and local for all of Northern Nevada, it's your voice. Your voice is not being heard. Your voice is not being heard right now. All right. You have the Nevada legislature in special session with the doors locked, locking you out, locking your voice out, even locking your representatives out, because the first thing that they did this morning was pass a ruling that if you were there to vote on anything, you had to wear a mask. Jim Wheeler, you know, he and I have had our differences. He just came out here and barely couldn't breathe because he had to wear a mask and was being forced to do for the vote. He was furious. Your rights are being stolen, and your money is just around the corner. That's what they're voting on now. Please, let your voice be heard. Get in contact of every single legislator out there, whether they're in your party or not. Tell them how you feel. Email, call, go on their Facebook pages. Go on their Facebook pages. Get on their social media, on their Instagram, how they talk to each other. Your voice has to be heard, or we're losing everything for our kids. We're losing everything for us that we've worked so hard for. God bless America. God bless you. I love you. Thanks for being here. I will check back with you tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.